So welcome to Season of Change, transforming your life by the power in the Word of God. I have my guest here on this episode. We'll be talking about how he got the journey about his life, his business, his career, how he discovered his calling, and how he got to start his own program, or let me say his coaching lifestyles. And it's not a person than Scott Milder from United States of America. He's the is a coach and the founder of Inspired Stewardship. He's a great leader, and he's here tonight. He has appeared on a lot of platforms, and he had about 1,400 podcast episodes that he has published. So he's here on Season of Change to share to us about his story, in order to inspire our audience about with his life experience. So welcome, Scott.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Wow, that's great. So we're happy to have you here, and we believe your presence here on this podcast will really change a lot of things and change a lot of mindset and give a lot of people new insight about what life is. So thank you so much. So quickly, I will be moving into the first questions, but before I do that, I would like you to just give us a brief introduction about yourself.
Sure. So as you said, my name is Scott Mader, and I currently run a full-time coaching business. I've been doing that since 2017 called Inspired Stewardship. I also have a book coming out in July named Inspired Living, and we'll probably talk some about that. Some of that will come out as we talk today. But back in the beginning days, I've always been one of those people that I want to help others. I'm interested in helping others. I'm trying to do that. And I originally went to college and went to school with the thought of becoming a medical researcher. So I actually have degrees in science. I got a couple of degrees. I started doing some research work. And I figured out real quick that doing research work was about 90% chasing money and about 10% actually doing work, you know. And what I really wanted to do was help people, and that didn't feel right. That didn't feel authentic. So I pivoted, and I became a public school teacher. So I taught science in the great state of Texas for 16 years. I've taught, you know, 6th, 7th. 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. The only thing I haven't taught is 8th grade. My joke is I can teach any science, but I don't do rocks, because 8th grade in Texas is earth science. So that's the one science I'm technically not really qualified to teach. So I did that for 16 years. I loved teaching. I loved what I did. I loved the time with the kids. I loved all of the parts of that. But at the same time, if anyone that knows a school teacher knows that it's got a lot of hours, it's actually a lot of work. You know, the old joke is, oh, they get the summers off. It's like, no, you really don't. And, you know, and it's not a lot of pay. And so eventually I kind of burned out on that, and I joined a company called Educational Testing Service and began to write tests for a living. So in the words of my students, I joined the dark side. I went from teaching to testing. So we were actually writing state-based tests, the tests that they use in different states here in the United States for students to graduate, like high school or 6th grade or that kind of thing. They actually have to take a test to move on to the next level. And so I was involved in the writing of those tests. I eventually moved myself up into senior leadership. I ran a team of other leaders. I did a lot of projects. I've spent a lot of time on airplanes and a lot of time in hotel rooms and a lot of time spending time with clients. And again, I loved what I did, especially the part where I was developing the other leaders within the company. But there were things about the job that I didn't like being in a hotel room and, you know, being on a plane all of the time and being on the road all of the time and those sorts of things. So as I began to notice the pattern of the parts of my life that I really enjoyed and the things that I didn't, I actually started a coaching business on the side. So I'm working a corporate job. I'm working 50, 60, 70 hours a week, and I'm starting a coaching business. And then eventually I started that in 2011. And then by 2017, I actually took that business full time. And that's now what my wife and I do. This is my full-time job. My commute's a lot better. I used to commute about an hour and 20 minutes into San Antonio. Now I walk about 30 seconds from my house to my office and jump on a Zoom call. I've worked with clients in 16 countries. I call myself a stewardship coach. I focus on helping Christians master their time, their talent, and their treasures so that they can live out their calling. And that's kind of what I've done myself, is begin to find more and more, you know, what is the parts that are really what I'm called to do versus what are the things that really aren't part of my true calling. And I've moved more and more towards that as I've gone through that journey.
Wow, that was a great experience, and that was a great one. But I believe that some people said traveling is part of experience. But you said you don't like jumping on plane and moving here and there. You don't like it.
Well, when you're traveling for work, you know, it's not as exciting as when you're traveling like for, you know, for fun. So my joke is I got to go to a lot of great cities and see nothing, you know, except for a few restaurants and then the inside of a hotel room and then meeting with a client, you know. So I know what a lot of hotels and a lot of conference rooms look like, and the high point of the trip was going out to eat. You know, that was the high point of the trip. So I will say I'm a bit of a foodie, so I did enjoy that part of the travel, is getting to go out to different restaurants that I would normally not get to go to.
Wow, that's great. So let me move on to our questions that we have here for you. Well, in these just few minutes, no, we'll be getting out of this place. But before we go, and can you share a bit about your journey of reinventing yourself multiple times and how it leads you to the current calling?
So that's some of what I was just sharing, is that the idea of, you know, I think a lot of times we think of our career or identity as our calling. We think of what we do. You know, I was a school teacher. I worked in the corporate world. Now I'm a coach. And we say that's our calling. What I think I've kind of figured out, and what I help other people do, is get a level below that. So I think of what we're doing as our assignment. You know, it's kind of what we're doing in this moment. That's not the final destination. That's not really fully, authentically everything that we're supposed to do. So what I've been doing is trying to help people, and then I did it myself, dig in deeper than that and kind of go, okay, what's behind that assignment? What is it about being a school teacher that feeds my soul, that brings life to me, that brings energy to me? Okay, how can I do more of that but less of this other stuff, you know, that isn't feeding my soul? And I'm not talking about having to do the start part of your job that you don't like to do. I mean, I don't care what you do, you know, there's parts of your life and parts of your job that it's just like, you know, somebody has to wash the dishes. Somebody has to take the garbage out. You know, I don't think anyone ever gets up in the morning and goes, yay, I get to take the garbage out today. That's my calling, you know, but it's at the same time, there's part, so I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about there are things that you really are designed to do that feed into your life and give you energy. And they're the things oftentimes that they come easy to you, almost to the extent that you don't even recognize that it's something that other people can't do. That's kind of how I've been reinventing myself along the way. And by the way, I'm a coach right now. I don't know that this is my final career. I don't know that in the next 5 years I might pivot and find something else that I do, or as I continue to refine my coaching business, like writing the book. That was a new experience. I'd never done that before. I'm already sitting here going, now I'm working on the second book, you know, because that was so much fun. I enjoy doing that. So I continue to run experiments and tests and try to identify what are the things that I can reinvent myself in and add in that give me more energy, that feed my soul more, versus what do I need to cut out of my life that kind of is draining me, is taking energy away from me.
Oh, thank you so much. The next questions may come two ways, but let me ask, you know, you will grab it. How do you define authentic calling, and what step did you take to align your life with it?
Mm-hmm. So your authentic calling is sort of the pieces of your life, again, that are in alignment with your deeper reason for being. So, you know, earlier on I mentioned that I've always been somebody that kind of wants to help people, that wants to serve people. And if you think about the jobs that I did, you know, medical research, school teacher, even in the corporate world writing the test, it was all about how are those tests serving the state, the student, the stakeholders, the people that were there. you know, we didn't write tests just to write tests. We wrote tests with a purpose behind them. You know, it wasn't just so the kids could take a test. There's more to it than that. And I know there's a lot of bad feelings about testing, at least in the United States. There's a lot of, you know, arguments pro and con and all of that. But the intent behind them was to be positive. Doesn't always get played out that way. By the way, that's not the test's fault. That's how it's being used. But still, it doesn't happen. But I was involved in it for those sorts of good reasons. And that's the deeper thing that feeds my soul. And so I think for me, it was finding ways I could do more and more of that. For the listeners, for people that are hearing and watching this, you know, a lot of it is doing some examination. And I did this myself, and now again, you know, I help other people do it, in sitting down and kind of asking yourself a future question and a past question. So the past question first. That's looking at everything you've done. And I don't just mean your jobs. I don't just mean your career. I mean relationships. I mean summer camp. I mean, you know, whatever you've done in your life, volunteer work, you know, time at your church, time with your family, everything that you've spent time and energy on, kind of going through that and writing that down and thinking about what are all the things I loved about this? What are the things I didn't enjoy about this? What are the things that were, you know, gave me energy and fed me? And what are the things that drained me? And then what you're doing is looking for patterns. You're looking for what are the commonalities? What are the things that keep showing up? And those things are probably closer to your authentic calling. And the future focus, the vision, the other direction, and by the way, this is something that you should do all of the time, not just one time, is kind of, I frame it in terms of what I call an airport question. Again, I spent a lot of times in airports, so airports show up in my life. Where, you know, imagine you're stuck in an airport. You've got a layover and the plane's been delayed and now you're going to be stuck in the airport 4 or 5 hours. And you run into an old friend who you haven't seen and you sit down with them and they say, you know, how have the last 5 years been? Well, if that took place 5 years in the future from today and your answer was the last 5 years have been the best 5 years of my life, what would you say? You know, what would you be telling your friend has happened? What would you talk about from your job? What would you talk about from your relationships? What would you talk about from your spiritual life, from your finances? What would be happening in your life to make you honestly tell someone, man, these have been the best 5 years of my life? And again, remember, we're projecting that into the future because then it gives you a place to start. Between those two things, you're looking for the commonalities of the past, and you're looking for the direction that you're being led for the future, the things that need to show up to make you really feel like it's been the best 5 years. And what you're trying to do is move towards where you can do more of that, whatever that is. And realize it's going to be different for everybody who's listening. It probably won't be identical for any of us. And this isn't about changing jobs or changing careers. It's about changing your life and moving your life more in that direction.
Wow, thank you so much. I want to move to the next question. Can you elaborate on the concept of mastering time, talent, mm-hmm. and treasure in mm-hmm. pursuit of living out one's calling?
Right. What happens a lot of times, so, you know, again, I call myself a stewardship coach, and in the Christian circles, a lot of times you'll hear stewardship referred to as your time, your talent, and your treasures. Stewardship is just recognizing that the resources and the blessings that we're given are not ours to own, they're ours to manage. Our job is to do something with them, not just to own them, not just to hold on them. So that could be our time, that could be our money, it could be the things that we're good at, the things that we have abilities on, you know, that's our talent. And so what happens to a lot of people is they have this feeling that, hey, I'm supposed to be doing more of this. I'm supposed to be moving in this direction. But usually one of two things they feel like is holding them back. And those two areas that I've discovered are time and money. So usually somebody will say something like, I just don't have time to fill in the blank, which would help me do my dream. And the other thing that they'll say is there's some reason why money won't let them do it. Either I don't have enough money, or I have too much debt, or, you know, this job pays me so well, there's no way I could quit this job because, you know, I'd have to lower my lifestyle, whatever. There's something about their money or their time that's keeping them from moving in that direction. Now, here's the trick. I tell people I help you master your time, your talent, and your treasures. Technically, all I really work on with people is talent. And the reason why I say that is because if you have a time problem or you have a money problem, you really don't have a time problem or a money problem. You have a you problem. That's the talent part. Because it's not about our time and it's not about our money that causes us to handle it well. It's how we handle ourselves. That's how you handle your time and your money. You handle yourself. And you make different decisions, and you behave in different ways, and you develop different habits, and you take different action. And so the real work is in that mindset, behavior, and belief that we have. The problem is the symptom usually shows up in time or money. People are going to say, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money. So they come looking for help in those things, and then what we really spend most of our time on is working on, yeah, but what is it about your behavior? What is it about your priorities? What is it about your values? What is it about yourself that you need to look at differently, frame differently, or act differently so that now you actually have the time that you can do on what you want to do, or now you've actually got your money behaving in a way that lets you move towards what you want to do?
Oh, well, thank you so much, Scott. That was a great one. And the next question is this. What inspired you to start your own podcast, inspired the stewardship, and what themes and what topic do you typically explore in the your episodes?
Mm-hmm. So it's actually evolved over the years. So I started it back in 2018. I started it in January. My thought behind it was, I really don't like to write, but I need to get some of this stuff that I'm thinking about, that I'm trying to process out, and I tend to process better by talking than I do by writing. So, well, how can I talk instead of write? Well, instead of doing a blog, I'll do a podcast, you know, and it kind of was as simple as that. And so I started it as an experiment. I committed to doing it for 6 months. Now I've been doing it since 2018, and I haven't yet figured out whether I like it or not, so I'm still doing it. You know, that's kind of my joke, right? Because it was really just an experiment to see if I liked it and see what reaction I got. Did anyone listen? You know, was it interesting? Was it fun? Did it help me process what I was thinking? And it did. So I've continued to do it. And as you mentioned, I'm over 1,400 episodes, closing in on 1,500 episodes. And over the years, I've done a variety of interviews and solo episodes. And so solo episodes, I tend to focus on quick inspiration or quick tips, things that can get you moving. I share either a spiritual nugget or something that out of my devotional reading, or I'll share something about a quick tip on how to use your time or your talent or your treasures better. And then the interviews, I tend to invite people on the show who have either an inspirational story of how they've moved towards living more of their calling, or I tend to have people that, again, have some tips or some action that we can take in those areas of time, talent, or treasures that maybe they have a resource or a book, or maybe they're a coach in one of those areas and they have something to share, and I invite them on to share those tips with the listeners as well.
Wow, thank you. So, in your experience as a coach and a small business owner, what are some common challenges individuals face in mastering their time, talents, and treasures?
So let's kind of take them one at a time. In time, and by the way, I'll not only tell you what the problem is, I'll give you a fix for it. So in time, what ends up happening is we often spend a lot of our time doing things that keep us busy. You know, so we say yes to a lot of activities. We fill our calendar with a lot of stuff. We're doing a lot of stuff. But we're not necessarily doing the stuff that's actually important to us, that's actually moving the needle, that's actually either personally important, like we're missing our daughter's soccer game, or we're not going to the birthday party with our spouse, or we're missing things like that. Or we're missing things in terms of we're so busy just putting out fires and moving from thing to thing to thing that we don't actually do the deeper work that's more important, that lets us grow our business or that lets us live out our life better, or spend time doing what's really important and what really moves the needle. And so here's the fix for that. If you find yourself ever saying, oh, I'm so busy, I don't have time, instead of saying I don't have time, say that's not a priority for me. And see how that feels to you. Because here's the thing. It's a subtle change, but there's a big difference in the mindset. When I say, oh, I'm so busy I can't make my daughter's soccer game, that kind of feels like almost a badge of honor. You know, you're busy. You're doing a lot of work. it's not a priority to go to my daughter's soccer game kind of makes me feel like an idiot, you know, kind of makes me feel like, oh, geez, you know, that should be a priority. Maybe I should do that. So just changing your language helps you change your behavior. In the area of talent, what happens a lot is we don't actually spend some time and energy not just setting up goals, but setting up the why behind the goals. So it's pretty easy to do a goal. And by the way, I'll define it for you. A goal is anything that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So I want to get out of debt. I'm getting out of debt. I've gotten out of debt. I want to buy a new car. I'm looking for a new car. I bought a new car. I want to, you know, whatever. It's got a beginning, a middle, and an end. Those are goals. And instead, we also need to figure out the why behind the goal. What's the deeper emotional driver? What is it about this goal, and what is it going to give you from an emotional standpoint? Is it freedom? Is it flexibility? Is it security? Is it safety? It tends to be words that are bigger than just, you know, quote, get out of debt or buy a new car or those sorts of things. And a lot of times we don't spend the time and energy figuring out the why behind it. In the case of money, it's very similar to time in a lot of ways because both time and money are finite resources. If you find yourself saying, I don't have the money for that, instead, again, change the language to, I've spent my money, you know, this isn't a priority for me to spend my money on. And again, see how that feels, because think about it for a minute. If somebody says, well, I paid my Visa card and I'm not paying, you know, I'm not eating or I'm not paying my mortgage, is it more of a priority to pay your mortgage or pay Visa? Well, in that situation, it might be more of a priority to pay the mortgage. It might be more of a, you know, you have to think about it differently when you think about prioritizing what's most important to you with your money as well. So in both cases of time and money, it really is refocusing from what are you saying no to what are you saying yes to, and making sure you're saying yes to those things that now go to talent are helping you move towards that deeper emotional why.
Wow, that's great. So the next questions are, you mentioned your upcoming book, mm-hmm. Inspired mm-hmm. Living. So what is the key message and or principle of that book?
Sure. So the subtitle of the book is Assemble the Puzzle of Your Calling by Mastering Your Time, Your Talent, and Your Treasures. And that's kind of the fundamental message. This idea of, you know, when we think about living our calling, we think about doing our calling, I use the analogy of a puzzle. And you can imagine for a moment, you know, you get a puzzle and you get a jigsaw puzzle and it's got a picture on the box and the puzzle pieces are inside it and they're there to make that picture. But the challenge when it comes to our calling is the picture on the box is changing over time, because your idea of what your calling is going to refine and change over time. And then what's even more difficult is the puzzle pieces are sometimes changing. I don't know about you, but there's days where I've looked at my puzzle box and it's like, I swear there was a corner piece here yesterday. Somebody took it. Where'd it go? And then there's other times where I look in my puzzle box and there's pieces that are someone else's puzzle have been shoved into my box, you know, and I'm having to figure out, wait, what belongs to me and what belongs to someone else? So it's a dynamic process of figuring out how do we spend our time, how do we spend our money, and how do we spend our behavior and our thoughts and our beliefs and align them with those things that we're really meant to do. And that's what the book walks you through, is kind of a process of taking each of these areas, examining them, and then how to actually take action to begin to move towards your calling.
So now you mentioned being productive. And I wanted to ask, how can you distinguish between being productive and being busy?
Mm-hmm. That's a big one, because I think a lot of times for a lot of us, and we even say it, you know, you ask somebody, how are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. You know, that almost is the knee-jerk answer to that question for a lot of people. So busy is your calendar is full. Busy is you're spending time doing things. Productive is you're spending time doing the right things. You're doing the things that actually move you forward. You're spending time with your family if that's important to you. You're spending time on your business in a way that actually builds your business and makes it better today than it was tomorrow. So for me, productive is, are you spending time on things that make you a little better today than you were yesterday? Doesn't have to be a lot better, but at least, you know, a little bit of improvement. So today is a little bit better than yesterday. Because here's the thing, if you spend more days making today a little better than yesterday, and you do that over a long period of time, it's just like compound interest in money, you have compound behavior, where those new habits and those new behaviors will cause you to grow over time. And so productivity is more about focusing on those things that actually cause that incremental growth. And they can be very small things sometimes, but oftentimes we get so buried in the minutia of answering emails and putting out fires and dealing with emergencies that we don't step back and open up some time to actually do the deep work that's most important.
So the next question is, what are we, the next question is, what are we touching about now? Is as someone who sat on a church and non-profitable board, how do you balance your commitment between your personal life and your professional life?
So a lot of that has to do with this. There's this word. It has two letters. It's really hard for us to say. So I'll teach you how to say it. What you do is you kind of put your tongue against the roof of your mouth and you blow some air across it and you say no. So the problem is a lot of us overcommit. We say yes to so many things that we now can't do the things that are actually, you know, we've overcommitted, right? That's the language that we use. We put so much stuff on our calendar that now we have that tension between, well, I want to volunteer over here and I want to spend time with my family over here. You have to realize that time and money both have what we call an opportunity cost, meaning if I spend my time doing one thing, I can't spend that exact same time doing something different. We can't really multitask. We can't really do two things at once. If I was trying to write a blog post at the same time I'm doing this interview, I'm not going to do either one well. So it's the same thing for all of us. So what we have to do is recognize that we need to say yes first to the things that are actually most important. That probably means that you're going to have to say no to some things that right now feel like they're really important, but they aren't as important as some other things. And that takes sitting down with your calendar and going through it. So a lot of times I tell people to do what I call a 15-minute miracle exercise. That's simply putting a list of times on the paper every 30 minutes or every 15 minutes, setting a silent alarm like on your phone or on your watch or with a timer on your desk, and letting that alarm go off every 15 minutes, and every 15 minutes jot down what you've been doing the last 15 minutes. Do that for a couple of days so that you actually capture everything you're spending your time on. The thing that's interesting is when you do that and you come back and you look at it, you will discover that you're spending time on some things that you don't even realize you're spending time on. And that's oftentimes the areas where you can free up time so that you can do the things that are really important, like spend time serving on that board. I serve on a couple of different nonprofit boards, so, you know, and I have a full-time job and I have a full-time family. We all have those sorts of commitments, but what it's cutting out the other things, you know, I don't watch a lot of TV, you know, because that's not as important to me. So I found other places that I can remove those things so that I've got the time to do, you know, family or other things that are important.
So thank you so much. We're moving to the last questions, but the one before the last is this one. What advice will you offer to individuals who are struggling to find their calling or purpose in life?
So I think the first and the biggest thing that I can share with you is recognize that it's a journey and it's a process. It's not an event. You very seldom find somebody who woke up one morning and said, this is my calling, without, you know, anything else going on. Instead, it's a process of running experiments. It's a process of discovery. It's a process of doing things and coming back from them and spending the time to review and reflect and go, you know, what was that about? You know, what did I love about that? What was difficult about that? What fed my soul about that? And actually thinking and then revising your behavior and doing things different and running different experiments. And over time, what you'll find is you can move incrementally again. You're usually not making drastic, sudden shifts. Instead, it's small changes over time. And one day you look up and you look backwards and you can connect the dots in reverse and see how God was putting things together and putting things in your past so that where you've arrived, you're ready for it. But oftentimes we don't see it looking forward. We only see it when we look backwards.
Well, thank you so much. So we'll be coming to the last questions, and I believe I want to ask you, what are the unique insights you believe you can offer to those who are on their journey to personal and professional development? The unique advice you can give to them?
Mm-hmm. I think what I do that is a little different than what some folks do is, again, leaning into that idea that it's a journey, it's a process, it's something that we get information, we get data, but it's not about having the one right answer. I've come to recognize that, and I think this is a godly theological kind of message, that oftentimes as human beings, we want to make things and put them in boxes. We want to say it's either this or it's that. You know, it's good or it's bad. It's up or it's down. It's these sorts of things. We try to divide things into dichotomies. You know, it's us, it's them. You know, those sorts of things. And it leads to a lot of conflict, and it leads to a lot of tension, and it leads to a lot of struggle and strain. And what I've tried to help people do is get more comfortable with what I call living in the both and, where it's both up and it's down. You know, it's not just light or dark. It's the blending of them, and it's the tension between them that often is where creativity lies. That's where growth lies. It's being in that uncomfortable place and learning to be comfortable in that discomfort. Because I think a lot of times we confuse predictability with safety, when in reality, a lot of times that safety comes out of living in those tensions that are in between and being comfortable with holding, you know, more than one idea in our brain at the same time. And that's a hard skill to learn. And I won't claim to have mastered it, but it is one that I think I've gotten better at, and I try to help my clients lean into as well.
Wow, thank you so much. You've really done justice to all the questions we set before you. We said this is your great experience. We transform a lot of life, and we impact a lot of people and help a lot of people to redefine or reinvent their self or to rediscover their purpose and calling in life. So, Scott, we really so appreciate your time coming on Season of Change to share about your journey, the journey of your life, how you discovered your calling, moving from one stage to the other, and we believe that God will continue to strengthen you and bless you. Thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you so much. So I believe you enjoyed your meeting with us tonight there on this platform.
Absolutely. I've really enjoyed being here. And for the listeners, I did actually put together some free gifts for you. So if you'd like to, if you could, you would go to inspiredstewardship.com/season. And for Season of Change, so it's inspiredstewardship.com/season. I actually put together some free resources for you. There's information there about my book and the podcast that we mentioned earlier. Then there's also some tools and some tips that you can avail yourself of. So if you're struggling in these areas of time, talent, and treasures, the only thing on there that has any sort of cost to it is my book. Everything else on there is free. So please avail yourself of that and let that help you kind of move towards finding your calling as well over at inspiredstewardship.com/season.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I believe that's a great one for the podcast Season of Change. We've gotten a gift, the first and one of the most precious gifts from one of our guests. And I believe that once the link gets to us, we'll share it for people to download and to get the free resources. And whosoever that is interested, we also contact you to get the book from you. So thank you so much. We'll be bringing this episode, the recording, to a stop while we say this is Season of Change, transforming your life by the power and the word of God. And our guest on this platform again is Scott Mader. He's still a coach and is the founder of Inspired Worship. You can visit website is starstewardship.com. You can visit his website and get contact with him. You can search him on Facebook, and all the social media handles. You can get your contact with him, and you can reach out to him also. Make sure you learn from him. He's a great experienced leader and he's raising leaders by the grace of God, helping people to discover their calling. So we appreciate you once again as we bring the recording to a close. Thank you so much, Scott. God bless you. Stay calm or stay blessed. Thank you so much.